Our scripture reading for this morning will come from the book of Colossians in the New Testament. We'll be reading from the first chapter of the book of Colossians, and we'll be reading verses 15 through 28. And it is found on page 1074 and 1075 of your pew Bibles. So this time let us listen to God's word for us. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil and struggle with all energy that he powerfully inspires within me. It's the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. O Lord Jesus Christ, my rock and my redeemer, in Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. When I was a young man in college, I was invited to participate in a neighborhood panel discussion at the community center where I used to work. And I was invited to bring a youth perspective to the panel, and I was very much delighted to be on that panel with the teachers and with other authority figures, adults, people that I very much respected, and I wanted to make sure that I had something important and relevant to say with all of those grown-ups, and so I tried real hard to sound important and like I had something relevant to say. But I remember one of the members of the panel that day was an old Pentecostal preacher. And it was, when it was his turn to speak, he got up and he said, I just have three things to say. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He received a polite applause from the audience, but in the arrogance of youth, I remember thinking, what does that have to do with anything? That's the kind of thing that's best left at church. Who invited him anyway? What does Jesus have to do with the problems in our community? We've been established here to talk about some very important things that are taking place in the community. And what does Jesus have to do with anything? But of course, over the years, I've come to appreciate the wisdom of that old Pentecostal preacher. Jesus has everything to do with the real world. Jesus has everything to do with everything. But of course, that's not always apparent. We live in a society that has a problem with Jesus in our so-called pluralistic, multicultural, secular society. Jesus may be just a good moral teacher or an insightful prophet, as the script goes, but we live in a society that says, let's not make any special claims for him, lest we offend the canons of political correctness. Our society has a problem with Jesus. And even inside the church itself, Jesus is often not given his due. A lot of church talk is oftentimes more about us than it's about him. It's about what we want, what we need, what makes us happy, than it is about Jesus. But the heart of the Christian faith is not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about the church. It's not about the family. The heart of the Christian faith is all about him. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I like our passage of scripture this morning from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, because there Paul is saying the same thing that old Pentecostal preacher was saying. He's saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Paul says a number of astounding things in this passage, and please keep in mind that he's writing to a little church that is confused, a little church that's scared. Christianity is still just a very small offshoot religion. No one's really heard of it, and this little church is nestled in the middle of an empire, and all kinds of things are going on in and around them, and they're trying to figure out this new faith. And so Paul is writing to them in their confusion and their anxiety, and he wants them to know something about this Jesus. And so Paul says some astounding things here. First of all, he says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. God is invisible. No one has ever seen God. But if you want to know what God is like, Paul says Jesus is the image of God. The Greek word for image, of course, is icon. It's where we get our English word icon. And an icon, as many early Christians understood, was a glimpse into divinity. And that's the point that Paul is making about the Lord Jesus Christ, that in Christ the fullness of God's divinity is made manifest. We human beings, of course, were originally created as icons. That is, we were created in the image of God. We were created so that the rest of creation could glimpse in us the glory of God. But because of our sinfulness and our rebellion, we deface that image, that divine image in ourselves. We exchange the glory of God in our lives in order to look like something else, something far less than what God created us to be. And that fracturing of our humanity had consequences not only for us, but for the whole of creation. The whole creation was subjected to frustration and bondage and decay. But now we are told that the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his faithfulness and obedience, has restored to humanity that image, the image of the invisible God. And to be in Christ is to have our iconic image restored. And so Paul says that Jesus Christ is the image of God. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus, because he is in God's image. And then Paul says that Jesus is the firstborn of all creation, which is another way of saying that he has primacy over all things. Everything that was created through him and for him. He is the center of all things. He is the one that holds all things together. We human beings are forever placing something else at the center of our lives, something else at the center of creation. We believe if we can just have the right kind of things, then we can have our lives together. We just have the right amount of money. We just have the right image, the right clothes. If we could just have the right kind of iPhone, if we could just have the right kind of spouse, we could just have the right kind of house, move in the right kind of neighborhood, then we'd have our lives together. We'd have everything together. But we'll never have it together until we put the Lord Jesus Christ at the center of our lives. In a world that is fracturing and falling apart on all kinds of fronts, we are reminded that it is Jesus who holds all things together. And so Paul says that Jesus is at the center of all things. All things were created through him, and he is the one who holds everything together. But Paul doesn't stop there. Paul tells us that this same Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, this same Jesus who is the firstborn of all creation, this same Jesus who holds all things together, is the same Jesus whose suffering death on the cross has reconciled all things to God. I want to emphasize that a little bit. He has reconciled all things to God. Not just some things, but all things to God. We sometimes have this tendency to believe that Jesus' suffering death on the cross was just about us. Just about us human beings, about our reconciliation, about our redemption, about our salvation. And that, of course, is terribly important. But the scope of the Lord's saving death encompasses more than that. The scope of the Lord's saving death encompasses the fact that Christ has reconciled the whole of creation to God's self. Jesus didn't just die for you, and he didn't just die for me, but he died for the whole world. The whole world that is now suffering under the travail of sin and death. Christ has reconciled that whole world back to God's self. God has claimed this world that God has made, and every mountain, every river, every ocean, every forest, the whole of creation, the cosmos itself, has been redeemed and reconciled and reclaimed back to God's self. Through Jesus, all things have been made. Through Jesus, all things are held together. Through Jesus, all things are redeemed. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Last week we finished up our vacation Bible school, and we really had a good time, like we do every year at vacation Bible school. And our theme this year, as many of you know, is indicated by all the artwork around, was that Jesus is our superhero. And that is true. Jesus is the one who came to save the world. Jesus is the one who came to redeem the world. Jesus is the one who comes to reconcile everything back to God's self. Not by beating up the bad guys, which is what a superhero is supposed to do. In fact, it's what a superpower is supposed to do. We can rid the world of evil, perhaps, if we drop enough bombs on it. But Jesus doesn't save the world that way. Jesus saves the world by dying on the cross for all of us. For all of us bad guys. For all of us who have made a mess out of our own lives and out of God's good creation. And it's in that act of self-giving love on the cross that Jesus shows us what the invisible God is like. It's in that act of self-giving love on the cross that Jesus shows us the power that holds all things together. It's the incomparable power of God's love manifested in the faithful obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know what God is like, if you want to see God, it's the power of God's love manifested in the Lord. If you want to know the power that holds everything together, the power that holds the whole cosmos together, the power that holds you and me together, if you want to know what holds everything together in the world, it's the power of God's love manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's love is the most powerful thing in the world. Without it, everything crumbles, which is why every time we try to put something else in the center of our lives and at the center of the world, no matter what it might be, no matter how powerful it might be, things fall apart. Because God's love, and only God's love, can hold things together. It's the most powerful thing in the world. And so Jesus has come to show us what that love is like and what that love does and how that love reconciles the whole world to God's self. I was reading something the other day about Julian of Norwich. One of the things I've been trying to do lately in my devotions is to go back and read some of the early saints, and was reading about Julian of Norwich. She was an English mystic and anchorite who was living in 15th century England. And an anchorite was someone who spent all of their time sequestered in a little room praying and fasting and getting close to God. And Julian lived in a very chaotic time, a time of war and conflict, a time of economic strife, a time when the bubonic plague was ravaging all of Europe. Life, for the most part, was short, nasty, and brutish. And so she lived in a very chaotic time. But she had a series of visions, all of them surrounding the cross, in which the Lord Jesus Christ would come to her and reveal things to her. And in one vision, she asked the Lord why there was so much suffering in the world. Why was sin allowed in the world? Why did God permit it? And why did God permit the suffering in the world? And the Lord replied to her, "It shall be well. It shall be well. In all manner of things, it shall be well." I think that's what the Apostle Paul is saying in this passage of Scripture this morning. Paul wants us to know that in the midst of a chaotic world, in the midst of a world where events sometimes swirl out of control, in the midst of the world where we are sometimes anxious and frightened, in the midst of a world where we seek to hold on and embrace the things that we care about, but sometimes we are anxious about the future. In the midst of that kind of world, Paul wants us to know that it shall be well. In all manner of things, it will be well. Things will be okay. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is sovereign over the whole of creation. And the Lord Jesus Christ is sovereign over God's future. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ who is on the throne. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is charting the course of events. And he has the whole world in his hands. It shall be well. Paul says one other thing here about Jesus that we want to lift up. He says that Jesus is the head of the body, the church. And that's where you and I come in to play, because we are the church. We are that community of people who are called to proclaim Jesus Christ in the midst of the world. We are that community that's called to go out into a world that doesn't really want to hear or understand the truth of things, that Jesus Christ is Lord. We are the community that is called to go out and say, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." The church is not about us. It's not about our comfort. It's not about our happiness. It's not about what we can get out of it. The church is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's about how God is redeeming the world in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what you and I have been charged to go out into the world and proclaim. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That old Pentecostal preacher knew that. He knew that Jesus was about the love of God pouring into our world. The love of God that cannot be closed down. The love of God that is stronger than anything in the world. The love of God that will eventually overcome all the pain and hurt in the world. Jesus. That's the Jesus that Paul says that he was sent out into the world to proclaim. And that is the Jesus that you and I, too, are sent out into the world to proclaim. Friends, we have had our humanity restored. We have had our life restored. We have had our relationship restored and reconciled back to God's self. Let us, in the spirit of love and peace and justice, go out into the world and to proclaim the only hope for the world. The world has no other hope but the hope of the story that we find in our Bible. It is the hope of a God who has come to die for us and through that redeeming love save the world. That is the hope for our individual lives. That is the hope for our communities. That is the hope for our nation. That is the hope for our world. Jesus. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have given us your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as the one who makes all things right. He is the one who has come into this world to show us how we might live. He is the one in which you created this whole cosmos, the whole universe. He is the one whose great love holds all things together. And he is the one whose saving death has reconciled us back to you. Help us, Lord, to be shaped and formed as a community going out into his name to proclaim the good news that he has defeated the forces and powers of death. He has defeated the principalities and powers and the thrones and the spirit of the air and the spirit of the age. He has defeated all of that. And he calls us now to come forth, as his people, to come forth to live and to proclaim who he is in a world that would like to forget him, in a world that often turns its face on him, in a world that would like to believe that he is just one of a number of religious figures that we might try out for size. But we know better. We know that he is the Lord. He is the Redeemer. His name is one that is above every other name. You have placed him above every principality and all powers because he is the Savior and the Redeemer of your created world. Help us, Lord, to live into the promise that he came to bring to all of us through his saving death. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.